is a representation of the human mind or the individual who goes to the temple. The coconut has three parts. The whole coconut is topped with husk. And then when you remove the husk, you see the shell inside. And if you break the shell, you see the kernel inside. Right? These are the three things. I'm asking you and telling you because I don't think you have coconut trees here. So you may see only the shell and the nut, but not the husk. But these are the three things that make the coconut. And when you want to bring the coconut to the temple, you have to husk it at home. Then bring the shell, give it in the hands of the priest. The priest takes a nice big heavy machadi. Cut it. It breaks open. And then the pure white kernel is exposed. Then he places in front of God and say, "Now, please accept God." This represents the individual's mind. The husky part is the tamas, the sleepiness, the laziness of the mind. Tamasic quality, you call it. You have to get rid of that at home. The priest won't come to wake you at home. You have to get up early morning, take bath, everything. So you have literally removed the tamasic quality. But still you have that rajas. I. You see, I'm a big man. I'm going in a Rolls Royce with a golden plate full of fruits to God. You especially dress up well when you go to the church, thinking that God will look at your skirts and dress and embroidery. That's ego. So ego comes to the temple, leaving the laziness there. And of course, as a good seeker, you know that you cannot get rid of the ego. Even in the act of getting rid of ego, you become egoistic. Look at that. I meditate for half an hour. And if I sit like a stone. Look at you moving around. Even the sannyasis who seem to have renounced everything claim, "You see, you are all worldly people. We have renounced everything." Ego of renunciation. So it's very hard. So you cannot break it yourself. What should you do? You take it to your teacher, the guru. "Sir, whatever I do, the ego sneaks in. It's hard for me to break it. You take care of it." And he seemed to be saying, "Sorry, I had to be a little rough with it. Because all other operations are very simple, but the egodectomy is very difficult." So I may have to use a hard machadi. "Please bear with me." "Sir, do anything you want. Hit me hard. Crush me. Break my ego. Expose my true nature." Then he breaks it. That's why it's not easy to go and live in an ashram under a guru. He really works very hard on you. Everywhere he hits you, he searches for your ego. And having broken the ego, what happens? Oh, you are all beautiful, sattvic. You become tranquil. You become pure white kernel. Then he says, "Lord, He left his tamas at home. I broke his ego. Now he is all pure. You can accept him. What a great philosophy behind just breaking a coconut. But without knowing, when they do, they get egoistic even in the name of breaking a coconut. I've heard once a conversation during a festival. One devotee was very bragging about, "You see, when God came, I broke 50 coconuts. Another one, 50. I did 150. The ego gets into the coconut itself. That's why it's an example. How we should understand the rituals. Then we get the benefit. Otherwise it just works the opposite way. So they are necessary. Even in yoga, yes, your hatha yoga, your bandha, mudra, kriya, they're all for purification. Purification. Not to be arrogant about it. Then they are useful, helpful. Otherwise, they themselves become a hindrance. So in that sense, yoga also needs certain rituals, dharmas. Oh boy. Could Guruji say a few words on how lotus will function in the years to come? Because it's built with clear dollars. The questioner is Claire Buck. Claire Buck. So, I don't want to take much time on that, but it's simply a reminder, a monument for the truth that we are all one in spirit, though we express in many ways. We are many in forms and names, but one in spirit. Truth is one, paths are many. So let us stop fighting in that name. Because we need varieties. God could have created us all in the same shape. He wouldn't have any problem at all. All same color, same height. Even sex, same sex. No problem then. Why couldn't he do that? What was his intention? His intention was that people should enjoy life, should play, should have fun in life. I'd like to use that word, fun. He didn't want us to be simply sit and do nothing. He wanted the whole world a dramatic stage. He put a variety of costumes on us. The same spirit, variety of costumes, variety of functions to perform, variety of parts to play. So that it will be, life will be a fun, a happy one. Variety is the spice of life, we see. Every game has this variety. Look at that. You bring a block of wood. You cut it. One section you make it into a board. Another piece you cut it into smaller pieces. Carve it into different pawns. You call one king, another a queen, bishop, castle. Put them all on the board. Only then you can play chess. What is there sitting on that board? Nothing but chips of the same block. Just because they carved differently and they're named differently and they are made to move differently, we have a game. Suppose a knight says, why only queen can go everywhere, why not me? There's no game anymore. Game means certain rules. And when do they apply? As long as they are on the board. On board. They have to stick to their activities. Regulations, laws, rules. Once the game is over, where would they go? The queen goes to her apartment, the king goes to his apartment, the knight goes to his another apartment. No, they all go into the same box. The game is over, we all end up in the same box. So we are literally chips of the same block. Now we are on the board. On board of the ship. You play your part, I play my part. Right at this moment, you are playing your part, I am playing my part. We are all equal. We have to play our parts to make the game successful. Don't think just because I am sitting here, I am something superior to you. And you are something lower now. For the game, you have to sit there, I have to sit here. And you change the game, who knows? You might be here, I might be there. Reshuffle the card, finish it. And if you keep that in mind, you play the game well. If you forget that, you become arrogant. Look at, I am the big Swami, the Guru. And you are all just simple folks. A little below the understanding. That's nothing but arrogance. You miss the spirit behind the game then. Life is for that. So when we forget that, we fight. All the religions are for that purpose. The one and only purpose of any religion is to educate us of our spiritual oneness. That's why it's called spiritual teaching. It's not physical teaching or mental teaching or ego teaching. Spiritual. Spirit means there's only one spirit. There's no Catholic spirit, Buddhist spirit, Hindu spirit. But of course, when they go to different places, you get different labels. Like gasoline, for example. A shipload of gasoline comes. If the Texaco takes some, it becomes Texaco gas. Exxon takes the same from the same ship. I was in the business, I know that. We go and take supply from the same ship. And then I will say, Exxon is the best petrol, buy from me. A Texaco is inferior. We both drew the same, from the same ship, different pipelines. That's It's all right for business. But essentially the same spirit runs through us all. That is the purpose of any religion. That is what you call religion. Religion means to return back to your original condition. The very meaning of religion is that. Return, bind back, get back to your source. But the moment we forget that, we inject our own egos into that and say, my approach is the right. Yours, no good. If you don't come to my church, you'll go to hell. It's nothing but irreligious. In the name of religion. That is the reason why the world has lost thousands and millions of souls, lives, in the name of God and religion. The historical fact proves it. Is that the purpose of religion? No. So, the people who at least raised a little above that want to do something. 20 years back, Pope John proclaimed this ecumenical movement. How beautiful it was to come from Vatican itself. In fact, we celebrated the 20th anniversary in Texas. I was invited along with Cardinal Arinzo, the president of the non-Christian secretariat in Vatican. We were together to celebrate that there. Many great sages and saints always said that even in India, ekam sat vipra bhagata vadanti. They are the people who realized the truth behind religion, the purpose of religion, not simply read the books. So we have to do something. We started in simple ways. We first started talking together, various religious people. Then we started performing service together, as you saw in the slides. We call it Yoga Ecumenical Service. The acronym is YES. Simply say yes. And then we wanted a permanent place for that. And that's how we started this lotus. Some people even ask, why to spend that much money on lotus here? Is it necessary when there are millions of people starving for food? It's true. I recognize that. But there are millions of people who are working towards that also. I don't object to that. Yes, we must spend as much energy as possible to feed the hungry. But is that enough? When somebody is hungry, yes, you send a shipload of food to a country. How long they can survive with that? If you feed somebody, it's only for 3-4 hours. Then you have to feed again. You have to feed again. So that charity has its limitations. Anadhanam we call it. Charity of food. Not that I say you should not do it. Do it, but don't stop there. You have to do something more. What more can we do? Give them education. Vidyadhanam. So that they can find a little money themselves, earn a little money themselves. Then you don't have to give them food. They will earn their food. Even before Vidyadhanam, Swarnadhanam, money comes. Give them $100. They will buy food for 1 month. Then that is over, you have to give them another $100. Another $100. Instead, if you give them education, they can make their money. But even that doesn't seem to help. People fight not because they didn't have vidya, knowledge, education. Sometimes the educated people themselves fight. So even there's something wrong with education also. The mere breadwinning education, as the great saint Ramakrishna put it. Education should not just be breadwinning. Real education is to make you feel that you are part of the whole world. That is what we call jnana dana, wisdom, charity of wisdom. Educate people. Without that, all this will not last long. Now I turn around and give you another example. It's not an example, it's a fact that people are suffering, starving today, not because there's not enough food. The agricultural statistics clearly say that we have plenty of food available. There are nearly 5 billion people on the surface of the earth. But they produce food 3 times more. 12.5 billion people can consume food. We have that much food. Mother Earth was never stingy in giving us. When we have so much food, why so many people starving? Then what is the reason? The reason is we don't care. We don't share. Unless I get my price, I won't give you the food. I better even dump it in the sea than giving it to you at lesser price. How many shiploads of food is being dumped in the sea daily? And we at the same time we cry for the starving, hungry people. In a given day, just the amount of food that is wasted in all these airlines, I can keep on giving all the restaurants, all the supermarkets, a little dried up leaf of a cabbage means the whole thing is thrown out, nobody buys it. I don't know how it is here in America. If you simply go to the supermarket, every day you can take truckloads of thrown out vegetables, purely good to eat still. Just because they look withered a little, it's no good. A couple of years back, truckloads of oranges were put back into the ground and plowed because they produced too much. They couldn't get price. I'm giving you examples. In my own ashram, the government called us and said, hey, stop cultivating. We have too much of food. If you stop cultivating, we will give you $100 per acre not to cultivate. I said, what is the root cause for this then? If it's not for want of food, what is wanting here? The heart. We have money, we have food, we don't have the heart. We don't have the spirit to see everybody as equal, everybody as brother and sister. How to tell them, how to educate them? Only through remembrance like this, monuments like this. We need some concrete evidence. God is everywhere. Why do we need churches then? Some concrete evidence to remind you of that. That is the reason why. There was a time I was very vehement about anybody wanting to build a church or a temple. Yes. In India, I even became a bad guy because I argued with people. Why, we have enough temples to fight. Why do you want more? But this is something unique. Nowhere in the world you come across one like this. I want lotuses everywhere now, wherein people can come together, experience their spiritual oneness. I don't say we should abolish all the other temples. Keep them. You have your individual centers, but there should be a community center. It's a religious community center. That's the only reason why they're building this. Not for any other reason, or to show that, yes, we are building something big. No. Again, we started simple. When the people came to know of this greatness, the idea, the lofty idea behind, they got carried away. They wanted, you should do this, you should do this, I will contribute this, I will contribute. Simply, we never sent fundraising literatures to anybody. Just a businessman one day came, walked in, he saw this dome. No, what are you going to do? Well, we thought we could just paint it. No, paint won't last long. You have to keep on doing it. Better put some mosaic tiles. So where am I to go for mosaic tiles? Too much. Don't worry, I'll contribute everything for the mosaic tiles. It costed me more than $100,000. He ordered, he got the tiles. Another person, I don't know still now who, simply came, must have come and seen this, went back. Even today, that person is anonymous. He sent me $108,000. Totally anonymous. Earmarked for lotus. I could have used it to send some food to Africa. But as I said before, that's only temporary. So it is not mine or just the work of one small community. It has become a world's project. People everywhere. You saw the slide of my meeting the dean of the Westminster Abbey. When he saw the pictures, even the pictures and the idea behind, he was so overwhelmed with joy. Swami, that's what we need. That's what we need. So, lotus is a symbol of spiritual unity. And just growing by, who am I to build this? I'm a beggar. I came with nothing. I have nothing now. Whatever comes, I'm using it. But at the same time, I'm not just confining to that. I'm still building the lotus, the yoga will also. It's all coming from somewhere. God's work. So don't think that, oh, I am becoming a little arrogant or building big thing. No, I'm not really that big. I don't want it. But the idea is big, and it deserves a place, a beautiful place to attract people. Unfortunately, people come first because they get attracted by the beauty, by something. Then they come and say, hey, what is this all? Oh, that's beautiful. Otherwise, why do you decorate churches? Why do you have fireworks, festivities? People come for that. And then they can't miss the philosophy behind. So it's a sort of bait to get people there. But that's the way we function. What can we do? So that's the aim behind lotus. And it's yours. I would certainly welcome every one of you. If we happen to pass by, please come and visit us. Encourage. And if you can make it, come for the July 20th, or the dedication itself. People from all over the world are coming. Even there, people are, how are you going to handle this crowd? You are in a jungle. I say, I don't know. God will take care of it. It's just all miraculous. The neighboring city, Charlottesville, all the Holiday Inns, Hilton and other hotel people say, hey, we give you at a discount price as many rooms as you want. Take it. People are sending their vehicles to use. People come from California and other parts. From Australia, a group of people have come to work. Because it's everybody's project. So please come and inspire us to work more. You're all welcome. Thank you. As well as desire for reward, another source of anxiety is fear of failure, criticism, or punishment. Can this be avoided without either, number one, avoiding all responsibilities and duties, two, being completely foolhardy and careless about the outcome? To answer the number one, avoiding all responsibilities, unfortunately you cannot do that. If you have to avoid all responsibilities, what about the responsibility of breathing? Don't you want to breathe? Don't you want to drink? Don't you want to eat? That's a responsibility, is it not so? If you could avoid that also, fine, we'll say goodbye to you. No. You cannot avoid that responsibility. Even if you want, you cannot. If you want to die, you cannot, I say. Many people have tried it. Why? Because somebody has sent you here to do his job. Excuse me for using the term his always. It's just a matter of habit. There's no his or her. I mean, there's some God. But we are sent here. We are made to live. We are not even living with our responsibility. No. Forget it. You cannot even live if you want, and you cannot even die if you want. What is the most important thing to live? Food. Even food, without food we can live. Water, without water we can live. But breath. If you know the breath is the most important thing to live, and if your interest is to live, you must be consciously breathing in every time, because 15 times in a given minute the air is going out. Right? It's going out. Do you consciously breathe in then? Hey, don't go out, I want to live. No. It just comes in by itself. How can it do by itself? Even the air seems to be having a big complaint about you. It goes and out and tells God, God, what is this? Look at my friend. A few ounces, 500 cc. That's calculated again. 500 cubic centimeter of air went in. But fellow, that fellow burnt the whole thing. He destroyed. It became carbon. Do you want me to go again? I don't want to go. And it looks, seemed to be God saying, Air, I created you for that purpose. You have to die for him to live. Get in. Yeah. That's why the air comes in. Don't think that you are breathing in. I know immediately some of you might think, oh, the Swami doesn't seem to know anatomy. There are a set of voluntary and involuntary muscles. They contract and expand. When the chest cage contracts, it pushes out the air. When it expands, it comes in. It's all happening involuntarily. That's what the anatomy book says. Yes, I admit it. But you say involuntary. It's not in your voluntary action. It's involuntary. What does that mean? Beyond your capacity. You are not doing it. Then somebody must be controlling it. Even involuntary things don't happen by itself without any boss. And who is that somebody? God. Means God wants you to live. He sends 15 times a minute the air back so that you can live. And don't you have a responsibility then? So number one is cancelled. You have a duty. You have a responsibility. Because you have been hired for that purpose. God hired you, provided you with life, provided you with body, with mind, with food, with material things, everything. Like when you hire a secretary, you provide the secretary with everything. A nice desk, revolving chair, IBM Selectric and whatnot. Otherwise, how can she function? So, God hired you and He is providing you everything. And He will continue to provide you as long as you are needed. When the job is over, He simply fires you. So that means we have a responsibility. We cannot avoid that. Number two, being completely foolhardy or careless about the outcome. That seems to be a good idea. You can be that way. You can be careless. You can be a hardy fool. Is that what foolhardy? Only when you really, really realize that you are not doing anything, God is doing everything through you, then you can be careless, carefree. Sir, I am thine. All is thine. Thy will be done. Tena vina trinamabhi na charati. Without you, not even a speck moves. So, do whatever you want with me. You have sent me, you are making me work, I work. was a great saint by name Ramalingam. He sang a song beautifully. Lord, you are feeding me, I am being fed. You are making me happy, I am happy. You are making me sleep, I am sleeping. You are moving me, I am moving. Not only me, the whole universe. Therefore, what should I tell you? There's nothing for me to tell you. Do whatever you want. Ottugindanai unnugindanan, mel urakkugindanai urangugindanan, pin kaattugindanai kaanugindanam, kalippikindanai kalippurugindren. ஆட்டுகின்றன ஆடுகின்றன இவகில கோடியும் இவ்வகையானால் தீட்டும் அன்பருக்கென்ப யான் செய்வதென்றிலேயே இட் இஸ் நத்திங் த டைம் டூயிங் யூ அண்ட் யூ அண்ட் யூ அலோன் தென் வை டு யூ கேர் அபவுட் எனி திங் யூ பிகம் கேர் ஃப்ரீ நாட் கேர்லெஸ் So until that realization comes, take some responsibility. You have to. And the anxiety, the fear, all the things what you have listed here is all caused by your own thinking that I am doing for my sake. That for my sake creates all the problems. We have no business of our own in this world. Because we didn't create the world. Even to save the world is not my business. Why? Even God cannot ask me that. If God comes and says, hey, you have to save the world, I say, I didn't create it. You are the guy who created and you are sitting sleeping there and I should save the whole world. It's not my business. You did it, you have to take care of it. I would argue with them, God. So then, why am I here? Do just my part. A little part. Whatever comes at that moment. So that way we can be always free. Remove this total I, me, mine business. You want to put a label on everything as mine, 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 my actress, my action, my house, my thing, my business, my wife, my husband, my child. Lot of mine, mine, mine label. And if you put too many minds, they will explode. How many minds you have in your house? You are not safe. Diffuse those minds. Unless you diffuse those minds, you will be confused. And how to diffuse? Peel off the label mine, put the label thine. Very simple. Simply change the label. Then you are relaxed. You have nothing to gain, nothing to lose. Okay? Thank you. We will just conclude it with another small, quick peace chant. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om. Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Shanti Om Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om. Om Shanti, 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 Om Shanti